Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
He is Casey Stern. The man was once a host for Inside the NBA, one of my favorite programs in the history of television. I'm Cyrus Autzes. Let's talk NBA, not just Warriors, not just Knicks, coast to coast. He's in Georgia. I'm in California. This is NBA Coast to Coast. Yeah, welcome to the program. I am Cyrus Autzes. You can follow me on Threads at Dog Wild. Casey Stern is over on Twitter. You can follow him there at his name. It's super easy. Casey Stern.
It's amazing. I'm so creative.
No. When it comes to Twitter handles or social media handles, creativity is not the winning formula. You want it to be simple. You want it to be your name, unless you have my name.
And I'm glad you call it Twitter, because as I tell people, if you call it X, immediately you just think about therapy, alcohol, and depression, because that's where X's drive you. So let's just stay with Twitter.
But and yeah, porn. I think porn too.
Well,
I guess my mind is in the gutter.
It's a family show. Kids are watching somewhere.
Yeah. So add two more X's and then it'll be much more apropos. Casey, how the hell are you doing, man?
Good, man.
First of all, tell the audience what this is, dude, because I'm sure this is a brand new venture, even though it's on
this
our
is
channel.
The internet. I tell them what this is. This is the internet. No, I'm excited. We talked about this a while ago. I did a bunch of shows with you and hopped on when you were doing Locked On Warriors, and we talked about doing a lot of NBA together and putting something together. So doing this, and it'll be up as a podcast. It'll be up on, you can find it on Unfiltered with Casey Stern and everywhere Cyrus is as well. It'll be on both of our YouTube channels. And please, if you subscribe and you're watching right now at Unfiltered, get over to Cyrus's channel and subscribe. And please, if you're on Cyrus's channel, get over right now to Unfiltered with Casey Stern and subscribe. I do baseball and basketball and all sorts of different sports over there, and guests and plenty of different stuff. Oh my. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to, I don't know, want to get demonetized, but shooting the ish and having a little shooting the shit. We can do that. And
oh, no, you can say shit. Yeah. I think you say okay. Shit.
We're going to shoot the shit. I think. Yeah. So we're going to have some fun. It's going to be crazy. It's not just going to be basketball. It's going to be some life, going to be some shenanigans. Bring all your questions, your comments. If you're listening, Apple, Spotify, ever get your podcast, great. View us on the YouTube channel live. Watch it on demand. Inject it into your veins. Let's effing go.
Oh, I like that. Just what Casey said. And again, the show is going to be on each of our individual channels. It's just much easier to grow that way. But you and I will be combining for this program. For people that aren't familiar with who you are, and it's I don't know if this is a funny story or not, but you came on my old show. I won't even give them, I refuse to mention their name, just and the way they treated you. I don't know if we can air dirty laundry. At some point, I'll leave that up to you if you want to do that. But they treated you like total shit. And regardless, you were coming on my show, and the way that the genesis of that, the way that even originated, is I remember just randomly thinking one day, what the hell happened to you? Like for people unfamiliar, you were the number two guy for Inside the NBA. Like, you were filling in anytime Ernie Johnson would have to step aside for whatever reason. And he's had some tragedies. He's obviously has personal shit that we all have to deal with sometimes to step away from work. And you would jump in. And you were the guy. And I remember thinking every time I'd watch you on that show, I think, what, this guy's hilarious, man. Like, you're quick-witted. You know what you're talking about. And then one day it was just poof, like you were gone. And I'm like, where the hell did this guy go? And then I look you up, I find you, you come on the show. And then immediately I felt like we had instant chemistry. So that is your background. Anything you want to add for the Golden Days audience that
I don't want to sit down and give the resume, but I worked at MLB.com for 5 years. I worked at SNY, I did pre and post game for the Knicks and Rangers at MSG on television in New York. I did 12 years of radio. I was the afternoon drive host for MLB for Sirius XM, MLB Network Radio. And then I joined Turner in 2014. I hosted the postseason all baseball coverage with Pedro Martinez and Gary Sheffield in that group for 7 years. I hosted 3 NBA finals for NBA TV. I hosted the NCAA tournament in studio for 3 seasons there and did all the coverage and did all the hosting for the NCAA tournament. And I also filled in for Inside the NBA. I was hosting the day that Craig Sager died, among others, as you brought up when EJ wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then in 2022, I left, a family, life gets in the way, lots of things happen, yada, yada. Go ahead and get a Hallmark channel. And, you know, I've got now I'm doing podcasts and I'm kind of figuring out where my next move will be in for as far as TV and radio is concerned. But I've been doing this over 20 plus years and all of my experience for the most part is in baseball and basketball. And I've got plenty of it in both. And here we are. Yeah,
here we are, man.
That's my life story.
And we're talking hoops. We're going to cover the entire NBA. Like, the Golden Days is a Warriors program, but NBA coast to coast, we're covering the whole gamut, man. We're whatever is hot, whatever is trending, whatever the topic is, we're going to cover it. But if you don't mind, Casey, I do want to start real fast with the Warriors topic. And this is generally in the news for the entire NBA because the Sacramento Kings were trying to get this guy. They gave up and they went with DeMar DeRozan. We got to touch on that for a minute because I think that's a huge pickup. But I'm talking about Lauri Markkanen and Danny Ainge, as we all know, he's a savvy GM. He loves his draft picks. He loves making big deals to plan ahead for the future. When you look at the Boston Celtics, and you and I are going to talk about dynasties because Stephen Curry said something interesting, which is that he thinks the Warriors are going to be the last dynasty in the NBA. And we're going to play that soundbite in just a minute. But when you talk about dynasties, this Celtics team, which could be a dynasty, largely was formed courtesy of Danny Ainge. And he traded away the last great Celtics team. I'm talking about Kevin Garnett. I'm talking about Ray Allen. He hoarded, you know, a stockpile of draft picks, resulted in Jason Tatum, resulted in Jaylen Brown. He wants to do the same thing with the Utah Jazz. And if that's his plan, Lauri Markkanen probably doesn't fit. He's 27, turning 28. Good player, but not someone who single-handedly can turn a team into a playoff team. I think for the Warriors, if he's the number two guy, that is an unbelievable pickup. If the Warriors can get him without trading Jonathan Kuminga, all the better. And right now it's a holding pattern. I feel like it's a Danny Ainge, Mike Dunleavy Jr. staring contest. My guess is Danny Ainge is looking at Mike Dunleavy Jr. going, throw in Kuminga, we got a deal. And Mike Dunleavy Jr. is looking at Danny Ainge going, I could sit here and wait all day, man. If you're going to trade Lauri, I'll wait for you to green light the deal that we talked about. That's the impression I'm getting here, man. And I think Lauri would be huge for the Warriors. If it doesn't happen tomorrow with Larry Kruger, I'm going to break down all 29 other NBA teams and who else the Warriors can make a deal for. But right now, Casey, from your outside perspective when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, which I love, what are your thoughts, man? What are your thoughts on this whole Lauri Markkanen deal? Like, do you think it's even worth it to go all out for him? Take it away, man.
Well, let me say this, first of all, because you got to be fair. We're presented on the unfiltered side by our good friends at BetOnline. It's all right. We get in there.
Sorry about that.
They like me. It's fine. It's 5 minutes into the show somewhere. They're your number one source for your sports betting needs this season. Baseball, golf, soccer, all the top fights, UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, live odds, and spreads. When it's over, you got 150 slot games, you got blackjack, poker, and more. Get over the website today, get in on the action. Promo code's BELIEVE, that's BLEAV. 50% free bet credit in your first deposit up to $250. Bet online, where the game starts here. I felt like Crazy Eddie with the commercials. A little bit up on the speed, but it's fine.
Look, truth is, Bet Online is a proud sponsor of the BELIEVE Network.
Yes.
And you're going to be hearing me give those reads soon.
It's fine.
No big deal.
I can do reads in my sleep. I can't braid my daughter's hair, but I can do reads. here's where, of all the million things I can't do, I could have gone with dunk a basketball on this show, but I just went with braiding. Look, I think the Warriors clearly need help. And he's a guy who would be a massive influence, especially with what he can do to add to them offensively and take pressure off of Steph. So I think it's important when you talk about being held, everything's about hand. You go back to hand in a relationship. It's in the relationship of trades. It's always about leverage. And right now the leverage is on the side of Utah. When you sit there and say, okay, he's my player, I don't have to give him to you. There are other teams that could be involved. He's wanted, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to get set up the bidding for as much as we can get from you. How long that lasts, who knows? But I think this standstill is something that really both sides are in a pretty comfortable position because it makes sense. It's a fit for both. It would help the Warriors. The tough part for Dubs fans is that what does it help them to do? Where are you going? What are you going to be next year? Are you going to win the championship next year? No. Are you going to be a factor in a contender next year? Probably not. Even with marketing, that's the issue. I want to know if they get him, what can you do? Yeah, I look at the upper echelon of the Western Conference right now, and all these teams are getting better. Minnesota, yeah, getting better. Dallas, getting better. All of the teams that scare you are getting better. The Warriors already have to cut a gap that there was there. Now, how much better can they get? So I want to know, and what is the plan? It's got to be more steps than just Lauri Markkanen, but certainly, obviously, both in size and what he can do for the team, it would be a big help.
Well, Casey, the starting lineup for the Warriors, if they make this trade and don't give up Kuminga, right, which is a huge caveat, because from what I've heard, that's what Danny Ainge wants, is Kuminga, and the Warriors, depending on who you ask, either absolutely love Kuminga or maybe they want to give him up for the right price. The starting five for the Warriors right now, if they get Lauri and don't trade Kuminga, would be Steph, Buddy Hield, Kuminga, Draymond, Lauri Markkanen. And the Buddy Hield part of it could be swapped out. If Pajemski's still on the team, maybe him. If Andrew Wiggins is still on the team, I don't mind him as a shooting guard. You're telling me that lineup just would not compete?
Team. No, I think it's competitive. But when you're talking about a team, when you're talking about dynasties, this is like, you know, the goal for a normal basketball fan is to make the playoffs. The goal for a Warriors fan is to win the whole freaking thing. And that's end game. That's the game. That is all the F that matters. That's it, right? So if that's the goal, is that team as constituted, like you just described, good enough to contend with the top in the West? Be competitive, sure. Make a run, maybe. Win a championship, probably not. So I think there's work to do. But marketing would be a huge help. You do not want to deplete yourself trading Kuminga, though, because then you got to rob Peter to pay Paul, and then all of a sudden you got to now fill other issues that have been created by the trade, which is a problem.
Absolutely, man. I think the fact that you just said probably not, that elicits the old Dumb and Dumber line, right? So you're telling me there's a chance.
Of course,
there's
a chance.
I think that's if you're telling Dub Nation that a move will result in a chance, and you got Steph and Curry on your roster, they'll take it.
I mean, look, I love Steph, but. You know, when you talk about the difficulty of getting a dynasty, it's more difficult to keep a dynasty and to extend a dynasty and to now get a second run out of guys who are the same part of that core at a much higher age and a much more depleted level, even though you're talking about Hall of Fame talents, right? That's hard to do. That is nearly impossible. You rarely see it. You may see a quarterback like a Tom Brady go to another team, or a quarterback like a Tom Brady see running backs and wide receivers change over his time with the Patriots, right? During all those Super Bowl runs. But you don't see the core of a basketball team get way older, then spend years in that midriff and the muffin tops of the standings, and then all of a sudden get back to the top. It's difficult to do. They've got a ways to go.
Let's hear from, speaking of dynasties, and you and I, before we started recording, what were you doing, by the way, for the last hour? Was there a birthday party at your house? Just totally inside here, but I was hearing like a party of kids. What was going on in your house?
No, I leave the TV on for the dog.
It was the TV. Okay,
go. No, I leave the TV on for the dog. So I had the TV on for the dog, and I was in and out. I was actually playing some hoops outside. Yeah.
Your dog, what is your dog watches TV? Like,
my dog's like 15 years old. He's a golden retriever, which is like 107 in human years. And he doesn't like silence. There's too much noises going on outside. I don't need him shitting, you know, his pants on the couch. Then I got to clean it. It's a mess. I already do enough laundry. I got three kids. So you were listening to my dog watch television.
That is incredible. That is awesome. I can picture it.
It's something. Yeah,
the silence could. I get the silence part of it. Okay, that's incredible. I love hearing something. That. All right, so let's hear now. Shifting gears. Thank you for.
Thank you.
Painting the picture there, because I was hearing all this noise and I kept hearing all these kids. Anyways, okay. Stephen Curry, who's part of Team USA, and in future shows, we can talk about the Olympics. We can talk about it now, but I'm hosting, and if you want to join me for these, I would love it. I mean, it's open door in terms of anytime you want to host together, but I'm going to be hosting programs after every men's Olympic basketball game. No offense to the women. I only have enough brain power and time to cover the men's side. But after every men's game, I'm going to be hosting. And if you want to join me, you can. But the Olympics are around the corner. Stephen Curry is competing in his first Olympics. It's the one missing element of his resume, that Olympic gold, which will complete it. He'll have the EGOT version of a basketball player in terms of accomplishing everything. That's significant. So here was Stephen Curry, and Steve Kerr, the head coach of Team USA, was alongside him, talking about the fact that his Warriors squad was the last dynasty that will ever exist in the NBA. And you and I had a fun discussion about this before we started recording that we'll now include as part of the show. But here is what Steph had to say first.
With all the different rules and things changing in the NBA, I don't know, I wonder, do you think we're ever going to see another dynasty like what you guys built again?
I don't think so. Just because it's very hard to keep things together in this league. There's a lot more player movement. Me, Clay, and Draymond especially, we complemented each other so well for so long. We all brought something different to the table. So we'll see. Records are meant to be broken. Dynasties come all different shapes and sizes. So we'll see.
So, and I agree with the sentiment. I think it's going to be very difficult. Given, especially with the second apron, new CBA crap, like, I think it's going to be very difficult to maintain success over the long run in this modern incarnation of the NBA. But you think it's possible? Elaborate, please.
Well, first of all, let me elaborate on this. I saw somebody, I didn't get the name, commented when you shared on the screen about 3 a.m. is when the games are. If you think, yes, I'm freaking hopping on with you at 3 o'clock in the morning, You could put up my screen and then you can listen to me snore instead of there is no frig. Yeah. Thank you, Gilbert. There is no freaking way.
I'm sucking it up. I'm going to do it. So, I don't know what time they are, but
there's a better chance you're going to get another dynasty than there is me doing it.
All right.
That's number one.
All right.
But no, look, I think it's difficult. Dynasties, no matter what is going on or what decade in the NBA or in any sport, they're difficult, right? Because you need a lot to go your way. You need to, first of all, you've got to have young talent that you draft and develop, because then for a while, at least, they're going to be cheap and then they grow together. Then you've got to have the money and assets to build around them with free agency. And then you've got to have, with the money you made and you're dealing with cap here, you've got to be able to have enough to then keep the core players, those two or three, and maneuver everything else around, right? It is difficult to do. Do I think it's impossible? I don't think it's impossible. I mean, I was saying this to you before. Now, look, I'm not saying the Celtics are a dynasty and who knows what's going to happen, at least this level of them, right? But if you look at this team with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and what they have, the other pieces you can move around. When Drew Holiday's gone, get somebody else, right? But to have the Derek Whites and the Tatums and the guys that are already on this roster, they've got enough where I don't think they're going to make the run that the Warriors did, but is it feasible they could be in three consecutive NBA finals with this team? It is feasible that they could be there and anything can happen. So is it feasible with Kyrie and Luka Doncic at his age where he's at, right? And whatever they get out of Klay, that Dallas can do that in the West and get there? Maybe. To the level that the Warriors did it, who knows? We'll see. But I don't think it's as impossible as the Dubs are making it seem. Not as impossible as me being out there at 3 in the morning doing any show. I mean, I used to do NBA TV at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'll share a quick story, and I shit you not. This is totally true. So when I was doing years of NBA TV, and I'd be sitting there with Dennis Scott and Steve Smith and all these guys, and it would be like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're waiting for the last game to end.
Was Underdog your producer while you were doing this?
Over on the TNT side. And at the NCAA tournament, but not for NBA TV. But yeah, just Underhill is the best. For those who don't know, his real last name is Underhill. That's why he's called Underdog. But that's, anyway.
Joe Underhill, is that it? Because I want to get him on the show at some point.
He's one of the nicest guys ever, man. He's also brilliant. But you would do these shows, and people watch like one live version, but then they just rerun. If you ever watch NBA TV or any of these shows, and I've done all kinds of different ones and different channels, they rerun over and over. You're waiting for one last game to end. I would have to drink an energy drink like I'm drinking now in the middle of the afternoon at 1 o'clock in the morning. Then I get home. You think it's bad listening to the dog watch TV. I'm sitting there till 5 o'clock in the morning, can't get sleep. So back then, maybe I would. But in any case, long story short, dynasties possible, saying there's a chance. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll be watching you on demand. No
well,
problem.
It's interesting that hearing you say that you think the Celtics have the potential, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Or that I disagree, that they have the potential to make three straight NBA finals.
I do.
But they play in the same conference as your team, the New York Knicks. Let's get into this. They had a phenomenal run this season. The Jalen Brunson addition for your squad, I cannot get over how they pulled that off. I can't get over the fact that the Mavericks were so dumb in not giving him the money, giving him the bag to keep him. They just let him walk. And I'm sorry, man. Trading Jalen Brunson for Kyrie Irving, that is not even, dude. Like, congratulations to the Knicks for getting Jalen Brunson in the first place. And now you've surrounded him with an unbelievable team, the Villanova squad alone. Man, dude, take it away, sir, dude, because you must be gelling. But I also have to ask, you don't think the Knicks can beat the Celtics? You think the Celtics
are still better? Well, I think the Sixers with Paul George are a problem. If Embiid is healthy, they're a major problem. Anybody who doesn't – and look, we never know what you're going to get out of Philadelphia or out of Embiid with his health or with PG with his health either. But they could be a problem. But the thing with the Knicks is, you know, I don't think they would have beaten the Celtics in – even if they were healthy. But you go back to the first round when they had Brunson and Josh Hart healthy and Ananobi healthy. Forget Julius Randle, by the way, all-star, who I'm not mentioning, who they didn't even have on the team at the time.
Right.
But even with that team that they had, they would have beaten Indiana and I think taken Boston to six or seven games. Now you look at this situation that to me is kind of it's A instead of A plus. And what takes away from that is for people who don't realize the loss of Isaiah Hartenstein and going to the Thunder and how big of a deal that is. That's a very big deal. I think Shea and company, they just added a big piece. And for me, it's a huge loss, especially when you think about Mitchell Robinson, who always seems to be injured, and the minutes that Hartenstein played and the position that he played for this Knicks team. But if you look at where the Knicks are right now and you look at the depth of this team, you've got a team that's got Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges in the backcourt. And think about the defense, too, when you think about Bridges and what he adds, right? Ananobi and Julius Randle. Hi, Ananobi and Bridges now with their length and defensively at the wings, playing at 2 and 3, right? And then you've got Mitchell Robinson in the middle. By the way, more defense and shot blocking to all set up and give Jalen Brunson more space than he's ever had. Additional shooting of Bridges. Now what happens? Oh, off the bench, Dante DiVincenzo, who has become, and I know Warriors fans got love for him, who has become a terrific player, and for me, should have been the most improved player in Major League Basketball, in the NBA this year. That's why I do too much baseball.
Major League Basketball.
I do too much
baseball. I like it. I rolled baseball. Off your tongue seamlessly.
Yeah, but I think DiVincenzo should have been the most improved player in the league. You think about Josh Hart, DiVincenzo now coming off the bench with Miles McBride and all they have. They need some more height, but they're a very, very deep and scary team. Does it make them better than the Celtics? I don't think so, but this is the best Knicks team that they've had since the 90s. They're the most well-built. They're the most well-coached, and Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau and that whole group have done a hell of a job to put this team in position.
Yes,
the Knicks are absolutely one of the best two or three teams in the Eastern Conference, and that's no-brainer on paper going into the season.
Are they deep enough now to overcome Tom Thibodeau's habit of running players to the ground? Because that You think so? Okay. That is Thibodeau's. That's a huge weakness on his part as a coach, man.
Well, here's the thing, though. They didn't have enough pieces to not play the guys that they were playing.
I'm not talking postseason, you know, but the regular season numbers. There were some games where
I agree.
It's a little much, but
I agree with that. But I think they're in a better position because the idea that Hart and DiVincenzo are going to come off the bench and that you have pieces that now you can take long runs and play big minutes. Also, you know that guys like Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson, these guys are going to get injured. OG is going to get injured. But I think the Knicks, to me, have a chance to be at least at worst, the second best team in the Eastern Conference going into the season. They're right there with Philly. They just knocked them off, obviously, this past postseason. So I like where the Knicks stand right now heading into the year. They look really good.
If I'm a Knicks fan, we're both in our 40s, and this is the best team.
Since the 90s.
Well, I think this is even better than the 90s teams. I mean, the 90s.
I can't think so. Well, they should have beaten the Rockets if John Starks would have hit a three in the corner in game 6 and not gone 2 for 17 in game 7. I Derek Harper, we had him on set. I'd never met him. Obviously, he does games with Dallas now for years, but he came in and he did a couple of days with us at NBA TV. And I sat with him, and the first thing I asked him was, why did you keep passing him the ball? And he had no idea what the hell I was talking about. And I was still bitter. I was like, look, if Pat Riley wasn't going to put Rolando Blockman in the game, and I love John Starks, can you please stop passing him the basketball number 11? But thank you. The Knicks are good. Knicks are good.
I love that. I love the name dropping. I do believe strongly that this current iteration of the Knicks put them in 94 and they win the title. I think they're better than that version, but that's just me. This is all opinions. But regardless, if you're a Knicks fan, you're elated. This is unbelievable, man. That trade you pulled off in the offseason.
Bridges is a really good player.
For people
who do not pay attention, because I know he's playing for the Brooklyn Nets. This dude was putting up 40-point games, can shoot the ball, can play defense, and now goes from a number one option to being the number three option on the floor when Brunson and Randle are there. It is going to be the Knicks are going to be able to. It's funny too, because those Knicks teams in the 90s, you know, people are used to watching the Golden State Warriors, watching them run up and down the court. I mean, even if you go back to the Mullen and the TLC days, of that, right? They're always exciting, always scoring a lot of points. My heyday of watching basketball is watching a team win 87-84. Right, with Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley and Anthony Bonner and Xavier McDaniel beating the shit out of the other team up and down the floor. This is the most exciting. The Knicks are going to be able to score. Their abilities one-on-one and to shoot the basketball are better than this team has had in 30 years. So obviously I'm excited.
I love that. Anthony Mason is always a player I think back of. Man, that dude was a thug and in the best way possible. I love taking a trip down memory lane to 90s basketball, man, because you're right. The scoring was nothing like it was now. And then you had teams like when you think back to that era and the teams that were putting up a lot of points, it wasn't just the Warriors. A team that I think of even more so were the Nuggets. The Nuggets were putting up like
highest scoring game of all time, I believe, and the Pistons. Yeah, and there were only 3 3-pointers in that game.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
Crazy.
The evidence does show that the 3-point shot, even though for the obvious reasons it's worth more than a two, you don't necessarily need it to be successful in the NBA. If you are a very efficient a scoring team in general, even if you're shooting twos and you have a great defense to back it up, the three thing is not, it's not an end all be all. Like, you're not going to be a team dead in the water if you don't have that. And the reason why I think the Knicks have a very good shot to beat the Celtics is because Boston had such an easy path this season, this postseason. Like, it was reminiscent of 2022 Warriors, where like every team they faced had some sort of injury. You know, all the opponents you were waiting for just, you know, because of injury again, like
the Halliburton thing for sure. I mean, obviously that changes I don't think Indiana was beating them anyway.
No,
to be honest, but it changes the optics of it.
No, no, not at all. But next year, if you have a Knicks team that's healthy and the Celtics are dealing with injury issues again to Kristaps Porzingis, I think the Knicks have an excellent shot, man. I'm high on them, dude. I would buy that stock, dude. I would buy that stock today. I would buy that stock, and I think it's just going to go up. And while the Celtics are the favorites, we've seen it for the last 5 years. We haven't had a repeat champion since 2018. And a lot of it comes down to two things. One is when you're a champion, that target is suddenly on your back by the other 29 teams. They see you and they think to themselves every time you come into the building or they're coming into Boston Garden, that is the champ. We're going to take it up to another level, and we're going to try to take him down. The Nuggets, we're attributing that specific scenario in when they got beat by the Minnesota. I know Mike Malone was mentioning that it's not easy when every other team looks at you and thinks to themselves, we want to beat the piss out of these guys because they're the reigning champions, right? So the Celtics now have that target on their back. But the other part of it is, and this is a human nature thing, and I'd love to hear your follow-up thoughts to this, or if you disagree, that's obviously fine too, but there is complacency that comes with a championship. And this is one of many reasons why I respect the Warriors dynasty so much, because the hunger of a title never made them complacent. After their first championship, they went out there and ran off 73 wins, a record that likely will never be broken. I mean, who knows? But I don't think it's going to happen. But since then, since 2018, every one of these teams won a title. And then the following year, you have owners kind of taking a step back in terms of paying players to keep them. All of the Celtics, good for them. They haven't done that. It's the first time I haven't seen key players leaving after a title since I don't know when, but the point is the Celtics have those two things going against them. Now the hunger of winning a title is no longer there. Maybe it is, but it diminishes a little bit. And then you have other teams suddenly rising up to another level playing against you. So, and that those are the two variables that makes it very hard to repeat as a champion. And I also think it increases the odds of your Knicks getting there, man. Any thoughts you want to add to that?
Well, look, I'd say this. It's not only the complacency. It's the shortest offseason. People are never...
Too, yes.
All the minutes and all the time that is spent going into the actual games on the court, right? And then you get to the point where you talk about a situation of having a parade, and then you're on vacations, and then you're licking your wounds, and then you're being paraded around in magazines and ESPYs and everywhere else for all of the great ability that you have and all of the money now that you have, right? And all the laurels you can rest on. And you go from every game to game seven to going into camp, and none of these games mean shit. And it's difficult, and it is really hard. And that comes down to chemistry. And I think, to me, that's one of the things about any dynasty that never gets enough credit. You need talent, but it's always the supporting cast members. They're interchangeable. That core, that chemistry from the coach down to the main players is the most important part of all of that. That is how all that winning comes. I'll just say this on the backside of that for the Knicks. Well, I'm not saying that they're going to win a championship this year, but it is rarefied air that you've got four guys on an NBA team who all won national championships together. Josh Hart excluded, the other three won two national championships together. Amazing. So to have Brunson and Hart and DiVincenzo and Mikal Bridges, who all have been winners at the highest level, clearly unafraid by New York, and have that kind of chemistry, the Knicks could be a scary team. But I always say this to Knicks fans, and you know, Warrior fans will not understand this because you guys have had too much joy and too much excitement. But
maybe
you root for some shitty team somewhere, okay? I got an Islander logo behind me, all right? I started watching them when at very early age when they were winning cups. And since then, it's been drinking out of large red cups, watching the team, okay? When you're a Knicks fan, the light at the end of the tunnel is a train. There's no light. It's a train. So for the Knicks, I await injuries, just like Jalen Brunson and Hart and OG in the playoffs and Randle right before that. Because if those guys were healthy, the Knicks would have had a shot to make a run this year.
Don't forget, Warriors fans very much sympathize and understand.
Yeah, not anymore. Life. They had too much winning.
Look at the Warriors before. Look, it's been 10 years of success.
Yeah, it's been too long. It's like talking about the Red Sox before, and I covered them in 2004. It's like talking about before that. Okay, right, there's 86 years, and may rest Tim Wakefield against Aaron Boone, 2003. Nobody cares about any of that now. Bucky bleeping Dent or any of that. The Red Sox have won three World Series since then, and all is fine.
So what you're saying is this is kind of like a Patriots fan still crying about
Steve Grogan or whoever come on, man.
All right.
Tony Eason.
All I gotta say is some trauma sticks with you, man.
Andre
some trauma
Tippett? Never leaves. Andre Tippett. I'm trying to think about all my tops cards for the Patriots.
Sorry, you always make me laugh so hard, man. Isaiah Hartenstein left the Knicks. He signed with the OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
The OKC Thunder look dangerous, dude.
They are.
If you told me that they're the favorites next year, I can't argue with you.
No.
I mean, there's a few other teams in their league. Your thoughts on the Thunder, man, because that team looks dangerous as F-bomb, dude.
I loved Shea when he came in. It's funny because Summer League is what it is, but doing it for 3 years, I remember watching Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
It has relevancy. I think it has relevancy.
Seeing him play for the first time live and talking to friends of mine who know a lot more about Kentucky than I do in terms of really the ins and outs of what was going on there when he played, and he never had a lot of the attention, didn't get the playing time, and all those different things are fine, but he's such a star. They have a well-built machine that continues to get better. That's the thing about the West, is the East is now filled with the three teams that are really well put together. There's a lot of veterans and a lot of injury concerns that are mixed in there. You've got a lot of youth in the West. And when you think about the teams that are growing and Minnesota getting better and better with Edwards, who, by the way, speaking of the USA, how about he said, doesn't change if Durant's hurt or whoever's hurt. I'm the number one option. I mean, very interesting. But here's a guy who clearly not short on ego or talent. And you think about their growth, you think about OKC and what they're doing in their growth and the age of Luka, who to me is my favorite player to watch in the NBA right now and what he's doing. There's a lot of young talent in the Western Conference right now, and all those teams are getting better.
By the way, do you agree with Brandon Katz who writes in the chat, the Thunder are not the favorites. We got to look up the Bet Online, odds for next season, because they got to be one of them. But he also says that's a dumb take. Look at him, like just with an attack. Just to counter real fast, the OKC Thunder finished last season with the best record in the NBA. They've lost no one of significance. They added not just Isaiah Hartenstein, but they also added Alex Caruso. But apparently that's a dumb take. With all these young players just getting a year better, is that a dumb take?
I don't want to get on Brandon. You know, it sounds like
Brandon.
You know, it's you got two members of the tribe here. You know, his last name is Katz. I mean, this seems like, you know, some Jewish on Jewish crime. Katz Deli, big fan of Katz Deli back in New York. I actually don't like cats. You know, I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? I could take this anywhere you want to go. I think the Thunder clearly should be among the favorites. I think when you watch what Dallas did in the postseason, and you think about adding Klay Thompson, and I, even though he's not the same player that he was, I don't need to tell that to a Dubs fan, the fit that he is with that team, which I think is a darn good one, you can make a case that it's a little more wide open than saying anyone is the favorites. But no, that's not a dumb take. If you were to say the Brooklyn Nets were the favorites in the East, that would be a dumb take.
I think if you said the Sacramento Kings were the favorites to come out of the West, that might be a dumb take.
No, but they're going to be better.
They're going to be better, though. And I lead into that because the Kings made a deal for DeMar DeRozan. They gave up virtually nothing for him. It always blows my mind when you see these deals where teams are getting superstars for virtually nothing. And all it does is just draw my ire toward my team. And I look to, in this case, the Warriors going, why the hell are you just standing pat, not making a big move? I think this was a fantastic addition for the Kings. I think this makes Sacramento the best team in Northern California right now. They're starting five. What are we looking at here? De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis. I don't know who the five is, but I'm missing somebody clearly. But that's a great team. That's a great team. I think they're much better.
I love DeMar DeRozan.
Same.
And he has been kind of a wildly underrated player. And I think part of that came from this idea that when he left Toronto, that was what opened the door to them winning the championship. And that's not the case, because that would, here, watch this callback, Brandon. That would be a dumb take. Kawhi character had something to do with all of that. Clearly,
so, I'm going to have a rim shot sound effect soon.
But I think DeRozan has been kind of wildly underrated. He's a guy who could take over games for you, and he's a premier scorer in terms of his ability with the basketball. When you think about what they already have with the growth of what Sabonis has shown the last couple of years, and we know what De'Aaron Fox can do, speaking of Kentucky, I really like that team. But again, that's another team that's got a lot of youth, that just added a veteran who's got savvy and a lot of scoring ability, who can go be another one option for you. I like Sacramento. I do.
And Kev F saying Herter would be the fifth starter, even though they're trying to move him. Yeah, I don't know who the fifth starter is going to be for that team, but I love the move. And kudos to the Sacramento Kings as Warriors fans wait for hopefully what will be their turn in the market. Again, tomorrow's show that I'm doing with Larry Kruger, I'm going to break down every possible player in the entire NBA landscape that the Warriors could pursue as a plan B.
How long is this show?
As long as we want. That's
You're going to do tomorrow. Like you're going to profile every NBA player.
It's not a profile because a lot of the teams will have nobody. Right. Okay. So I'm literally just going to do my research and I'm going to present to the audience tomorrow who the hell is out there on every other team that the Warriors could, in theory, try and make a trade proposal. For example, Portland seems to be an obvious one, maybe not obvious, but they stick out to me because they have two bigs. I don't know if you like them. I don't know if I like them. I do like. Well, let me rephrase that. I like the idea of Robert Williams, a.k.a. Time Lord, coming to the Warriors. I know he's injury prone, but I also love Rick Celebrini and the work he's done with keeping players healthy for the Warriors. So Robert Williams, if you're getting him for, let's say, Andrew Wiggins, sign me up. I think that's a great deal. But if you're looking at DeAndre Ayton, that's a whole other beast, right? The guy's a head case. You don't know if he's going to show up depending on the day. He's got an incredible talent, but it's just the mental part of it. We don't know if that's really there in terms of a full commitment.
But if any culture could fix that, right? I mean, the JaVale McGee's and how many other guys do we have that we could put in the category of seeing?
Yes.
I mean, look, let's be honest. It gets fixed, right? Like, you go back to the Patriots. I know I keep bringing them in, but you mentioned dynasties, and certainly, you know, they've got that feel outside of my Eli Manning beating him twice, but that's okay. But Randy Moss was a guy who was considered to be, he's a head case, can't do anything, and yada yada. And I understand they broke a lot of records, but that 18-1, they didn't win the Super Bowl. But at the same time, you know, you talk about what he did with Tom Brady, and he fit right in. We've seen this in the NBA all the time. When you've got enough there, and they've got enough there with Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr, that I think you could figure it out with Ayton. You're also not asking him to carry you. You know, this isn't like when he was drafted, he's going to go change a franchise. He's not here to change your franchise. But I do like Robert Williams. I love the violence and the athleticism. I'm a big fan of all that on the court. I'm a big fan.
No, I'm absolutely with you, man. What are we missing here, dude? What do you want to talk about? I feel like I went through my gamut of topics. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
But I think J.J. Redick is going to be a great basketball coach.
Thank you. La La Land. We can't finish a show without talking about L.A., let's talk about the Lakers. I think it was a disastrous offseason so far. DeMar DeRozan was clearly on their radar. The thing that sticks out to me the most this offseason, and I don't even know if you've heard of this, Casey's, but Buddy Hield admitted that he was recruited by the Lakers. It came down to him deciding between LA and the Warriors, and he picked the Warriors because he thought they had a better chance of winning, that's crazy. So that's where LA is. All they've done this offseason, as far as I know, is LeBron's son.
Yep.
Yay. It's not going
to
do anything.
LeBron took less money to leave room for space and a cap that they can't spend any money to get anybody, apparently.
Exactly.
But I look, here's the thing. I think the Lakers are a mess. And a lot of that comes down to the way they're built. A lot of that comes down to where they're run. Let's go the good and the bad. I'll go bad first.
Please.
Bad news is, I have no problem if LeBron helps run the team.
Okay. That's it? Or did I lose you? Did you freeze on me? Casey, you muted yourself. I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
I muted myself.
Back. Oh, there he is.
You got me? You got me now? Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Are we good?
Yes. They used to call that
I can't hear
dead air
you
in the radio industry. Yeah.
I don't know why. I cannot hear you.
You can't hear
can
me
you
now.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can't
yes.
Hear you. No.
Yes. I can hear
you. Can hear me.
You. Yes.
You can hear me. I can hear you
perfectly.
By the way,
fine.
This is our first rodeo. Just in case. I can't hear you. No.
Leave
I don't know
and come
why.
Back. Leave and come back. That's usually the salad.
Leave
that
and
fixes
come back?
This. Yeah. Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll leave
exactly.
And come back.
That's usually the reboot is usually how that situation gets resolved. Casey Stern will be back with us in just a minute. By the way, while he's coming back, 9 times out of 10, I'm happy with my haircuts. This one, I'm not very happy with. You know, either when you get a haircut, either it looks good right away, or you have to wait a couple weeks for your hair to grow back. And that's one of these. I got the summer dew that did not pan out. But I got a question for the audience. Okay, Casey's back. You can hear me now, right?
I hear you perfectly.
Okay, good. All right. So the reboot fixed that. And I'm asking the audience this. I want some feedback because this will also help with their aesthetic. Should I start wearing collared shirts like Casey? Should I start looking
I'm not wearing a collared shirt.
You're not?
No.
Holy shit, it looked like it. I apologize. Well, it doesn't change the question. Should I start wearing a collared shirt? Should I start spiffing up a little more? The beard's never going anywhere, but do people care about that stuff? What's your feedback, man? Should us in the modern media landscape where most of us are on YouTube now and doing the podcast, well, the podcast doesn't matter, but for the YouTube side of it, should we be dressing up a little more? Like, is the t-shirt thing cool?
No, t-shirts are fine. I had to wear a suit and tie and wear makeup for many years. And it's
not tell the audience about that. That's a topic that no one ever discusses.
Everybody that's on camera wears makeup. You don't have a choice. They make you up.
So without making this too much a gender thing, because women are usually, women grow up typically, not always,
and they wear makeup. I don't wear it in my free time, but if you have a forehead that's as big as mine, right? Because it's receding. And if they don't put the powder on here,
you still got it though, man. It's not gone yet. You're still there.
You can see the glare here. If you put that in the lights of a camera in a studio, like at Turner or MSG or anywhere else that I worked, you'll be blinded in your living room. So you can't. So yeah, I mean, they put makeup on you, but it's not like a lot. But regardless, point being, no, t-shirts are fine. I just want to say this really quickly. Two things.
Please.
One, LeBron, if you're LeBron James, you should have input on who's on the team. That's fine. The problem I have with it is the lack of sincerity and the fact that the Lakers pretend like he has nothing to do with it.
Which is total BS. So you're saying it's okay, LeBron, the GM, you're cool with?
I don't think he's the actual GM, but of course he's in the conversations, and he should be. He's LeBron James. He's earned that, right? Whether you like the guy, I'm sorry.
Can I flip it around for one second and go to the Warriors? I wish Steph was more like LeBron in terms of interjecting.
Yeah, that's fine.
And to the case in point, 2 or 3 years ago, I interviewed Steph and I brought this up with him. I asked Steph, do you wish the team would be more aggressive in pursuing, let's say, bigger players, right? Because I brought up to Steph, like, I think this team is small. And this was the 2022 season, the year they won the championship. And he responded, yes, he wanted it. He didn't even like hesitate. And then he jokingly said, you know, if you have a channel to the GM, voice that, because I would love that. That's what he literally told me. So I do wish Steph would be a little more outspoken in terms of what he thinks the
team
needs.
There's nothing wrong with that. So I know the insincerity with it is the issue. That's number one. Number two, Bronny's a 55th pick in the draft. Nobody that great is coming out at that time anybody. It's not ruined your roster. And if they drafted him, which of course they did, because he's LeBron's son, it could make them tons of money. Look at the attention that it's getting in summer league. Do you know what that's going to do for them in terms of all the things that they could do with sponsorships and ratings and everything else when they're back on the floor? It's not a problem for me because it makes sense because it's business. I get it. They don't care if he scores 2 points. As long as he spends 2 minutes on the floor with LeBron and they connect for some alley-oop, that's it. That's the world to them. Just be honest about it. Yep. I have no issue with anything that they've done in terms of that because they got money. He doesn't have to play a lot of minutes anyway, and it's worth a shot. It's not like they missed out on the greatest player that's ever lived at number 55 to do this, but just stop lying about it. The thing I will say, though, is taking out the fact that they could be a mess because that could stand in the way. I listen to a lot of podcasts over the last number of years. There isn't a podcast that I've listened to over the last number of years that is better than Old Man and the Three. And
ooh, interesting. Okay.
JJ Redick is as brilliant a basketball mind as I've heard in the last 10 years. And I watch that podcast all the time. He is brilliant. His X's and O's are brilliant. He understands the game. Just like, you know, there's a reason why his best friends in the game are also nut jobs who are brilliant, like Chris Paul, right? And look, CP3 knows a thing or two about basketball. Okay? He's a Hall of Famer. So
he's a dick, but he's brilliant.
The question is going to be, and so is JJ, right? It seems. So the question is
real quick, before you continue, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to add, JJ, I've never gotten the impression that JJ is an a-hole. I actually interviewed him back in the 2000s on a show with Believe's founder, Bron Huisenstam. Him and I go way back. He's a former pro surfer. For people unfamiliar, I doubt anyone cares at this point. But Bron and JJ Redick are friends, which is why when JJ got hired, I texted Bron. I'm like, dude, congrats. You now have the inn of inns, the head coach of the Lakers. But my point is, JJ, even though he used to be a huge party animal, like when he came out of Duke, he wasn't known for being someone who's cerebral, for being like, you know, a book nerd, for being someone who studies X's and O's, but he was the nicest guy imaginable. He was Johnny Goodtime on the show. You know, if you go way back in college basketball, you know, JJ used to love the party and have a good time. So this is great additional insights. I never really knew much about him as an X's and O's guy. You're saying
this
he's like
podcast. If you're a basketball fan, you should go spend the next 2 weeks going and watching every episode they've ever done. His interviews with Chris Paul and Draymond, who's been on that show, and a million others. It's the best basketball pod, I think, that's out there outside of this one, of course. So I'm a huge Redick fan. I don't know if this mess is going to be the right spot, but I remind people, for those who are fans of baseball, Joe Torre once managed the Mets before he managed the Yankees. Terry Francona managed the Phillies and was a disaster before he managed the Red Sox. JJ Redick may end up having success coaching somewhere else someday down the road, but I don't think this is a Derek Fisher scenario where he is in there and out of there as some kind of an embarrassment as a coach. I think he's going to be really good at it.
You know, the Lakers on paper, I don't think look horrible. Like I look at the roster right now, because they've done nothing. The D'Angelo Russell part of it to me is the worst part of it, because he can't play defense. Even though he can shoot the ball, it's not consistent. And that's the part that I think you got to figure out. Like D'Angelo Russell to me is to the Lakers what Andrew Wiggins is to the Warriors. He's not a bad player, but he's not going to make your team a champion.
Except he didn't help you win a championship the way that Wiggins That's did fair. Help the Warriors.
That's right? fair. So we'll give a point to Wiggins there for following what you said. But I'm looking at this roster, like Austin Reeves, LeBron James, Rui Hachimura. When the discussion was briefly signing trades with Klay Thompson, I was looking at this Lakers roster and I'm thinking to myself, I would like Rui. I would like Jared Vanderbilt. Sign me up. We're in. And then we found out the Warriors did not want to take back any salary in a sign and trade. And that's part of the reason why he went to Dallas. Also, Klay wanted to go to Dallas because, interestingly enough, he said in an interview, or at least through a source, that the Lakers reminded him too much of the Warriors and he wanted a different environment. So there we are. But I'm looking at the Lakers on paper, like Cam Reddish. You know, actually, I don't like Cam Reddish that much, but Gabe Vincent, I do like. The rookie they drafted, Dalton Kinect, can shoot the ball. The guy they just gave, Max Christie, they gave him a new extension. He's a good player. Like this is Jalen Hood-Schifino, who I think he's going to turn out to be an excellent basketball player. He's very young, got no playing time last year. My point is, like, the Lakers, I don't think, are the shit show that a lot of people are making them out to be, but they're not a championship team either. I don't know. Your thoughts?
No, they don't have enough supporting pieces out of their aging stars and one that's overaging. Like, you know, I said my dog was 107. He's only a year older than LeBron. So, you know, they really need some guys to help fill out their depth, especially when you're dealing with minutes that you've got to be careful of during the course of the season. I don't think they're a deep enough team. Are they a team that if they were healthy going to the playoffs could put together a week or two, win a series or two? Maybe, but I don't think they're that good. And the problem is that all the teams now are deeper and younger than they are. Mm-hmm. And that's in the West. If the Lakers were in the Eastern Conference and you tell me you're putting that team up against a team like Philadelphia and you know, you're battling it out, maybe. But when you talk about the speed and the youth that is out there in the West right now with some of these teams, I just don't buy the Lakers at all. No, they'll be okay. They're not terrible. They'll be all right. But
they'll be all right. Exactly. Yeah. And so the JJ Redick hiring, your opinion, you like him, but it's not going to be a difference maker. Is that fair?
I don't know if he's going to be a difference maker for the Lakers in terms of with this group, but I think he's going to be a really good NBA coach, and I think it's going to surprise some people.
The other LA team, and Casey, I think if you're down for this, I'd like to bring on some guests in with future shows, even if it's just for quick hits, just because there's so many individual team experts that I think we could bring on and add some knowledge and insights that we won't be able to provide. But I'm looking right now because I got a great guest. He hosts what's called the Pull Up Podcast. BJ Matthews, I think is his name. Well, I'll try to bring him on for a future show. He covers.
I want to know his name if you're going to bring him on the show.
A deal. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'll do my research. Sorry for BJ for forgetting the last name, but I'm looking at the LA Clippers depth chart right now, and I'll share my screen just to show you how ridiculous this is. And when it comes to depth charts, I usually go to ESPN, and ESPN only has four positions. Only has four players for the I've never seen this in my life. So the Clippers depth chart right now has James Harden, who is I cannot believe they paid him the money he got. I would never do that. Derek Jones, I thought was a good signing. Kawhi Leonard, we all obviously know who he is. And then Zubac. That's the only four they have. They don't even have a fifth player right now. I like Amir Coffee. Nicholas Batum did go back to the Clippers. He just loves that team for some reason. They got Mo Bamba. But this Clippers team, I don't think is doing a damn thing next year. They got PJ. They're paying PJ Tucker, who's going to turn 39 this year. Maybe he's 39 already, but he's going to be 39 this season. They're paying him $11 million. He doesn't want to be there. They don't want him. They're stuck with him. That's the Clippers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, not good. Not good. Worse than the Lakers. I mean, they could be worse than the Lakers because you're really relying on James Harden to do the one thing you don't ever want him to do, and that's be a one-man band. And there's a lot of times with the injuries to Kawhi and everything else that you're going to have guys. Look, they've got a really good coach that's got a really tough team to coach. And it's unfortunate, but I don't think the Clippers, I don't think either team in LA is a major factor. They both could be playoff teams, but honestly, you know, I don't see them as, again, not young enough, not deep enough. And right now, those are the two key words, youth and depth for me when you're looking at these teams in the West at the top.
Some people in the chat are saying there's some breaking news. I'm right now looking at Adrian Wojnarowski's Twitter account. I see nothing new except for Haywood Highsmith, who was briefly linked with the Warriors. He's going to return to the Miami Heat, a two-year, $11 million deal. Daniel Theis has agreed to a one-year deal with the New Orleans Pelicans. He's going to replace the loss of, I'm brain farting on his name, Valanciunas. So I guess he replaces him there. I don't see anything from Woj in terms of anything regarding Lauri Markkanen. And real fast, Shams is always the other one that you go to. That's your 1-2 punch in terms of breaking NBA news. And Shams is not reporting anything with Lauri Markkanen. So whoever is saying that right now, I don't see anything verifying it. So nice.
Was it Brennan Katz? They call that a callback in the industry. Was it Brennan Katz? No.
Okay. Oh, man. I love you, Casey. Is there anything else we need to touch on?
I'm just looking forward. We'll have a lot of fun doing this every week, and you know, people can bounce off and give us any ideas and things that they want us to discuss and take conversations that obviously you want to bring up. And just again, make sure, because cross promotion is promotion. If you are sitting here and you're watching on Unfiltered with Casey Stern, or you're listening on my podcast, Apple, Spotify, everywhere you go, get over to Cyrus's YouTube channel right now and go subscribe. If you're on Cyrus's YouTube channel and you're a Warriors fan and a diehard and you're in there and my Knicks bullshit hasn't blown you away too much, get over to my page, Unfiltered with Casey Stern, right now. Hit that subscribe button, like the videos. And if you happen to be, because there are people who are this way, I know it's crazy, diehard baseball fan in addition to basketball, I got tons and tons of big-time baseball analysts and interviews and conversations up on that page that you can go enjoy as well.
Your show is phenomenal. It's called Unfiltered. For the Golden Days audience, definitely check it out, especially if you love baseball. You provide, to me, your baseball coverage is second to none, in addition to your basketball insights. I just love working with you, man. The original, one of the ideas for our show name was, what, the Two Menches? But I don't know if that would have been marketable. So Coast NBA Coast to Coast it is. Interestingly enough, there was a former show called NBA Coast to Coast. I think it was on ESPN back in the 2000s, and it was a great show. But they let the name expire and they just let it go. So now
there are also like eight other Unfiltereds, but there's only one at Casey Stern. So go ahead and give me a follow.
DMs are open, right?
Yeah.
At least it was. Is
DMs
it still?
Are still yes, DMs are right. still open.
Okay, DMs are still open. Yes, very
DMs
good to know.
DMs are
still open. Touch of Madness is asking what days are going to broadcast. I mean, right now, so far, Monday at 1 p.m.
Monday,
I don't know.
Monday?
We haven't gone that far yet in terms of what the long-term plan is. But if you want to do Monday, if you want to just lock it down right now, Mondays at 1, we could do that. But, I mean,
Mondays at 1 are fine. But if you really want to find out, you're going to have to go to both of our channels, hit subscribe, go over to our Twitters or X, if you will, hit follow, and then
I'm on threads, man.
Never...
I'm on threads.
I'm wearing salmon threads, but I don't have threads.
You got to get on threads, man. It does have an audience, contrary to the perception.
I believe you.
Yeah, there are people on there, and you could have a slightly clearer conscience, knowing that you're not contributing to a maniacal
egomaniac. I just talk to myself in a dark room. It's fine.
Absolutely. Otherwise, Brandon Katz, we thank you for your contributions. Without you, this would not have been a show. And for everyone else, I guess we're done. I have not built a close yet for the show. We'll have that soon. I'm going to make a better open that's a slightly better produced. I put that thing together last minute this morning. Otherwise, Casey, I love you, man. Is there anything else we got to? Yeah. And Ishan in the chat, we talked about Lauri Markkanen. There's nothing confirming that so far. I just looked it up in regards to, and not to mention the reason why I don't buy the Lauri Markkanen comment that was in the chat is if he's going to sign an extension, it's not going to be 2 years. Like, he's going to sign a max deal for the max amount of dollars. So the fact that it said 2 years, $100 million in the chat made me a little sus about that. So, yeah. Anyways, are we done? Are we good?
That's it. Yeah. Right. I mean, we'll see. Again, follow, like, subscribe, all that stuff. Thank you to Bet Online. Thank you to everybody who's watching and listening on all of our different platforms. And we'll catch you next week.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.